Hey guys, it's Nikki.
We're back, bitches!
Hey, hey. I said, come hell or high water, we were making this happen. So, your child.
That's my dogs.
I said, hell or high water, we were making it happen. So, we are here doing things a little differently. I kind of sound like a man still. We're doing it through Zoom today because I promised y'all that we were going to be back, and we still have to be safe. You know, not my whole family, but me and the husband, and we have COVID. So we tested positive, got to do our quarantine thing. Heather's dog is going apeshit.
Oh, that's both of them.
Why are they barking?
I said we're back because I screamed, we're back, bitches.
Oh, Lord.
You know, they extra.
They are extra. But I love the fact that, guys, when we were sitting here prepping, I literally had to ask Heather, is that chickens that I hear? No. After the dogs calm down, if we get a lull of quiet time, you'll hear beep, 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 beep.
That's currently in the back bedroom in a child's tent because it's too cold to put my babies outside yet.
How do they do that all night long?
No, I'll go in. I should have turned the light off before we started because then they shut up and go to sleep.
Oh, they do. So they stop whenever the light goes out.
Yeah.
Girl, that would drive me insane all day.
I can't hear it in the living room. I can just only hear it here in the office because it's the next room over. So.
Gotcha.
Unless they get in a little tiff, and then, you know, they act all crazy and all 15 of them are at each other. So.
Oh my Lord. Whoo, child, that's a lot.
They cute, girl.
They are cute. I want to see them. I do want to see them for sure.
That's my babies.
They're cute. I love that puppy dog. Like, she,
oh my God, she thinks she's a mama. Right. It was so funny because, like, if they get out of the tent and she's in there, she herds them back to the tent and then she pushes them up over the little part of the tent that's on the ground. So they'll fly back in the tent like, yay, it's supposed to be out. Get back in
there. I just love her. She's so cute.
She should have had babies.
She should have had babies.
Well, she is a cat mommy too. So, you know, she raised the kittens.
So sweet. Little old lady.
Yep. Maybe I'll bring one to your house next time.
Yeah.
I'll bring a chicken over.
Oh, my Lord. Traveling with a chicken? How is that? I need to see that.
You put him in a damn cat crate.
I don't know. I don't know why this is so hard for me to grasp, just the chicken concept. But I love it. I love it. I can't wait to see him. I don't really know. I mean, otherwise, life's been okay for me. How about for yourself?
I guess.
I know, I'm so over.
I ain't been over to go nowhere, do nothing.
I know, I'm over this sickness stuff. I'm ready to be better. Today was my first day being approved to kind of social distance. Still have to wear a mask and everything. But I was actually able to kind of breathe today for the first day in like 5 days. So that was kind of nice.
How was your first day back to work?
It was okay. It was hectic, you know, trying to get things caught up from being gone and just chaos. It's always chaos there, but it wasn't bad. Like I said, I have to stay kind of cooped up in my office as much as possible so I don't get anybody else sick. But overall, not too shabby. But any hoot nanny, that's our lives. Oh, I started school again. My class has started. By the way,
sweet.
I hate my new class. Just for
what?
I hate my new class for the record.
Why? What happened?
It's about like cultural tourism and stuff. It's just one of those classes that you have to take. And I can't get on board with it. I'm struggling with it. But I start criminology really soon, and that's really exciting. I cannot wait. Cannot wait for that. But yeah, so sorry we've been gone, guys. We're going to quit bullshitting and jump into this stuff. We had
a lot. How long has it been since we've been gone?
Well, we did one right before our birthdays, I believe. Yeah, we did one, I think December 12th, we did one right before our birthdays. And then I went out of town and we decided for the Christmas holiday, we were just going to kind of take a break.
Right, right. And then no, we were going to come back on December. No.
December 27th or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you got sick. And then
Grandma passed.
And then I got sick. And, you know, life. That seems to be our motto
here. I haven't really been sick. I think COVID.
I was going to say one of your kids got sick.
Both of my kids had COVID. One got done, the other one got it. So I've been in quarantine for quite a long time, except for my girlfriend. Like, me and her are the only, you know, our families are the only, like, we only hang out with each other. So, or, you know, Scott's boss, but she's like my best friend. So, yeah.
But we're here.
But anyway, let's get this shit started.
Yes, we're here today and we're going to get this shit going. I was like, I don't care how we have to do this. If we have to record it on the phone, like, we need to make this happen.
Yeah, I posted that last night, or whatever night it was, Sunday. Because I didn't even know you had COVID until I talked to your sister. And I'm like, that bitch hasn't even told me she was sick.
I know.
Sick.
It under wraps. I was like, I didn't want to say nothing because I was trying to, like, ignore the fact that it was happening. And I was like, if I just don't tell anybody, maybe I can just get over this and not ever have to think about it. But then it was like day three. I'm like, I can't breathe.
So you've had it two times now.
I have. Yep. This is my second time.
Move to the country. Stay away from everybody. You won't get it.
Snotty nose kids. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, my snotty nose babies ain't been here. So because of COVID.
Right.
My daddy has it. So.
So today we're going to talk about another I Am a Killer episode on Netflix. That show has become quite the watch. Big fan. I'm not surprised, but how many cases, you know, are from St. Louis on there?
Right.
It's cool, but I'm not really surprised at the same time, because we do have, you know, a large death row prison. So today we're going to talk about Potosi Correctional Center inmate number 990142, Charles Armantrout. And that name to me, I kept wanting to say astronaut. Every time I was like writing, I kept wanting to write astronaut. And I'm like, no, Armantrout. I don't know why, but it just kept coming out astronaut. So if I say astronaut at some point during this podcast, I apologize. Because my brain really has to focus on how to correct it. But Charles Armantrout, a.k.a. Billy. Born August 2nd, 1965 in St. Louis, Missouri. He was born and raised in St. Louis. Both his parents eventually separated when he was around 6 or 7. Both his mother and his father had remarried. Excuse me. Billy was being raised by his mother and his stepfather, and he would visit his father on the weekends. He had a stepsister. Do you remember her name? I don't remember her name. I didn't write that down.
I want to say Anne, but I know that's not it. Oh, sorry, y'all.
He had a stepsister. I apologize. I don't have her name off the top of my head. He enjoyed spending time with her at his father's house. How did she describe him, Heather?
Her partner in crime. She loved it when he came every other weekend or whatever it was. They were like two peas in a pod. Like, they always hang out.
Yeah. Like, they had fun together. Right.
Right.
But she also said that there was a sadness about him though.
Right.
He was a fun, like, he was fun to be around, but then there was just like this sadness about him that almost was like lack of love, and that he was always trying to like make his father like love him or be proud of him.
Right.
It said that his father wasn't like the nicest loving person. And she said that, you know, he just kind of always seemed to try to be making his father happy. But his stepfather wasn't a very nice, loving person either. His right. stepfather was said to be verbally and mentally abusive.
And the father was physically abusive.
Right. Yeah. And it said that he was actually physically abusive to the stepmother too, correct?
Right. Yes. It was never said if he was to the stepdaughter.
Yeah, it never said that. So I think it may have been centrally to the wife and maybe to Billy himself.
Right.
But he lived with his mother as a child, so he would go visit his dad on the weekends. Naturally, he probably wanted, I mean, he didn't get along with his stepfather, so he wanted that love from his father, and his father was an abrasive man. So he struggled in a lot of aspects of that, just as a kid, you know. It's tough when you only get to see your father every weekend or every other weekend, and the man that you see every day is abrasive and don't love you either. Right. So he struggled with that, it seems like, quite a bit. But at 18, he spoke with his father, and his father, he was telling his father how him and his stepfather were not getting along, how they were starting to fight and argue and all this stuff. And his father basically told him to come live with him, because he was now 18 and his mom basically couldn't say no anymore. So naturally, of course, Billy went to go live with his dad. It's from there, though, it seems like it wasn't long before Billy, he himself said he started making bad decisions.
Yeah.
Basically, like, bad decision after bad decision. And then there was even a point where he said, like, he wanted to be a bad guy.
Yeah. He got a rush out of it or whatever.
Yeah. Like, he wanted to be a bad guy. So he basically started robbing gas stations more and more frequently. And each time he was successful, it would just basically escalate to more and more and more robberies. Because, like I said, he had a thrill from it. He enjoyed doing it, and he was a good at it type thing. But it even got to the point where he started to steal money from his dad. And didn't he say that he was writing checks, right?
Yeah, he was writing bad checks.
Yeah, he was writing bad checks under his dad's name. He was cashing checks under his dad's name. Obviously, his dad found out, was super angry. As any person would be. But here's the part that really, like, was the kicker for me and screamed, like, fucked up in the head as far as Billy goes, was when he got caught, it wasn't regretful. It wasn't remorseful. Instead, he made this insane decision. like, I don't even know.
I don't know if insane's even the word.
Right. Like, he got caught, and instead of just being like, I'm sorry, dad, I fucked up, like, da 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 da. No. This man waited for his father to come home one day. He waited for him, like, behind a door or whatever. When he heard his father turning the doorknob to open the door, he fired 9 shots through the door, hitting his father 6 to 7 times in the chest.
Didn't kill him, though.
No. No, 6 shots to the chest, close range, and he survived.
Yep.
It's insane to me. However, the police you know, naturally the police wanted to press charges. The police wanted to arrest him. But the father didn't want to. The father was like, no, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. 6 times.
Right.
You emptied a clip. Like, you emptied a clip through a door at me. I'm sorry, bro. You gotta go. Sorry. Like, I don't even know. But he says, though, that his father, even at like some point, I guess, had said he believed, he truly believed that, like, Billy was in an insane state of mind. I don't give a damn what insane. I don't care what kind of mind you are. You gots to go.
Right.
Sorry. Bye. And everybody's like, oh, if it was your kid. Nah, I don't know. Because if you ain't behind bars, I can't promise you I ain't going to choke you out of dinner one day. I'm just saying. Then I'm going to end up behind bars. I mean, right. You know? So somebody got to go. But in the meantime, police realized he was responsible for several robberies. Obviously, they're now looking into him and, like, you know, he's under their radar and stuff. So they realized he was responsible for all these robberies. He ended up being charged and sentenced to 19 years. And that was back in, what, I think August of 84?
Yeah, 84. Yeah.
It may not even been August. It may have been like June or July of 84, though. So he ended up only serving 10 of those years, though, in the Department of Corrections. So he was sentenced to 19. He served 10. That puts him being released at 28 because he was 18 when he shot his father. Now here we are, 28. excuse me. And so we're talking, let's see, 84, 10 years, we're talking 94. So we're talking 1994, he's released at 28 years old. Naturally, he's on parole and everything, so he has to find somewhere to live. He has to, you know, do all the things that are required of him. And the one person who was willing to take him in was his grandmother, 81-year-old, Inez Nodder. It was his father's mother, and she took him in and allowed him to live with her and try to rehabilitate his life and everything. He moved in with her in the Belleville Mill area, and that's Bevo Mill.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's in like South St. Louis, right?
Right.
Right. I actually like South St. Louis, on a side note. We actually had talked about moving down there and stuff. Some of the areas are nice. Not all of them. Got to be careful.
I'll stay right where I'm at.
Yeah, we know. But he just...
Their houses are beautiful. But
I like them because they're like old style. They're like the old style houses. The only problem when we were looking for a house down there is... they are small. Like, I have a freaking California. Well,
it depends on, like, what house, though.
Well, yeah, but you got to think the older style houses, the rooms and stuff, the bedrooms and stuff were not made for massive furniture.
But if you think about it, the houses that, like, I lived in and your grandma lived in, like, when she lived above us and we lived underneath her. That my parents' bedroom was enormous.
See, I would love
shotgun. It's a they're shotgun houses.
Yeah, I would love to be able to get like a whole house though. Like if you could do like an upstairs and a downstairs, you know, like a whole townhouse is
right
like,
instead of a two family flat.
That would be super cool, and then you could like knock out the walls and shit. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, because like Aunt Barb's house, she could fit a master. I mean,
South City? I mean, South St. Louis?
Well, yeah. South City, yeah. On Nebraska.
Sorry, guys. I got this cough. I can't help. Hell, I don't even know where I left off at. Oh, talking about houses and, you know, I got sidetracked. 81-year-old Inez Nader, his grandmother, moved in with her, South St. Louis area. He was staying with her, but, you know, overall, he still just couldn't get it. He couldn't seem to get his life together. He started, yet again, hanging around with the wrong people. Particularly two men that he was hanging around, one by the name of Roger Buchanan and the other by the name of Rick Lacey. Now Roger,
that Rick Lacey guy looks so fucking familiar.
Dude, Heather, I swear that's so crazy you say that. I thought the same thing.
Fucking so familiar, dude.
Wow, that's so crazy you say that, because I was like, wait a minute, I was like, why does he look so familiar?
Like, I straight up fast forwarded or whatever the fuck you go back to look at his picture like four fucking times, because I'm like, I know that guy.
Why did
know him?
The minute I seen his picture, I was like, damn, he looks familiar. But I never really gave it like a second thought until now that you say it. Now I'm gonna go back and like look at it again.
Girl, do it, because that motherfucker looks so familiar.
That's crazy. That's so crazy. It's said though that like Roger was, it didn't really say anything bad necessarily about Roger.
He was crackhead.
No, well, Rick was for sure.
Yeah. I think
Roger just like was a pothead, according to what they say. More so like he hung around them and they all basically did like bad shit, probably stealing and robbing and stuff.
Right.
Rick and Billy were actually more heavy on the like crack cocaine aspect of it. So at right around that same time at 28, Billy ended up developing a $300 a day crack cocaine addiction. And that was apparently something that him and Rick kind of shared in common.
That's a lot of fucking crack. I mean, I guess, I don't know. That's a lot of fucking money.
Well, yeah. And I mean, it's not a cheap drug for starters. But I mean,
what? That's 2100 dollars a fucking every 7 days.
That's insane. Well, and that's what makes these people so dangerous is, you know, when you have a habit like that and you don't have a job, your only option is to steal or rob.
How did he get it so high, that amount so high? Because he wasn't out of prison that long. It was $300 a day.
It don't take long. once you have it you want more and shit, before you know,
that's fucked up.
It's a hell of a drug. But so naturally he's developed this very, very expensive habit. And I think that was my phone, sorry. He developed this, you know, super expensive habit, and now he's got to find sources to get his money. So, of course, what does he start doing? He starts stealing from his grandma. Again, he starts stealing her checks, writing checks, cashing checks. Again, she, of course, catches him. She finds out. She confronts him. He says, you know, how sorry he was, and he says he's going to pay her back, and, you know, all these things. So with this time, you know, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to pay you back, you know, instead of just shooting her through a door like he did his father.
Right.
He actually was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to pay you back. But he obviously, again, tried to ask her for money because he has no way of paying her back. And she refused. She basically refused to help him, you know, anymore. It never said she put him out. It never said that, you know, she disowned him. She just stopped giving him money.
Right.
are you too cool for this podcast? Y'all, Heather just put sunglasses on. I can see her through video. Y'all can't.
But... seeing if they were dirty.
Here we go. How about this?
All right, let's do it. Oh, are those my old sunglasses?
Those are. Adam keeps them down here for his podcast.
That I gave to your husband.
He keeps them down here so he can feel cool on his podcast. Because cool, you know, they do video on theirs. And they upload it to YouTube. So, you know.
No.
Like, we cool. We cool. I don't know how do I take a
the girl we ate cool with this big old shiner on my face.
How do I take a screenshot? I don't know how to do that.
Oh, hang on, I can do it.
I don't know how.
Girl, turn your camera back on.
Oh, here I am. Look at me.
There. Oh shit, hang on, I did. We are so off track, bitch.
I know, sorry guys.
We ain't seen each other in forever.
I know, we ain't seen each other. Are you taking it?
Yeah. Pose, bitch. Pose. Hold up.
Okay. I don't know.
They won't do it. I can't get my fingers around it good enough. Okay, pose. Harold, Kirk, quick. That is turned off the phone.
Oh my God.
I give up.
We tried, but again, we're lucky that we're even getting this accomplished. So let's quit messing with shit before we end up disconnecting our connection. Where were we? I can't see with these damn things on. It's dark in here. And I need my glasses. I'm blind. I gotta read. So she caught him. She confronted him. He said he was sorry. He was going to pay her back. Obviously, he couldn't. He asked for money again. She refused to start helping him. So he goes on in the video basically to say, literally says his thought process was, the only way I could think to get some money was, I have to rob her. I have to beat her up. Literally, his words. Like,
sure was.
I have to rob her. I have to beat her up. So naturally,
we did not do a disclosure. This is our personal opinion, y'all.
I don't even know. Timestamp 1.25 something. I don't know where the hell we are in the podcast. Right. You know, it's in here. Hey. This is where it gets hard to hear. Bum bum bum. He devised a plan. He followed her to her bedroom. He took a bat. And he began beating her with the bat. He beat her until she was unconscious. He then tied her up, laid her on the bed, went through the drawers, and took what money he could find. And then he left. So the kicker to this is, I mean, not only the fact that he just basically beat up and rob and murder his grandmother because he needed some crack money. But he came back the next day and he took the body and he hid it downstairs in a trunk in the basement, and then proceeded to try to clean up the scene. So this, not only to me, I don't care what you say. You want to claim insanity, whatever, as a person, if you have the conscience to go back the next day and clean up a scene and hide the body, you're not fucking insane to me. You're just a shitty.
Nope. Yep. Like,
you've now lost your insanity. Oh, I snapped. Like, no, you didn't. No. So no amount of insanity or sorrow is going to make me feel any different. Of what you did. I mean, you literally came back the next day and cleaned up the scene and hid the body. Not only that, but you again just turned around and left. You left her there. You left her in a trunk in a basement. She was reported missing from her family, as they hadn't heard from her. 2 days later, she was found.
And the family had told the cops that they suspected. Yes, that word, that Billy had done something.
Yes, yes, they suspected that Billy had done something. So naturally, of course, the police basically say the search was on. They started the search for him, even to the point to where, and again, this goes back to no amount of insanity can make me feel any different about this man, because he tried to cash one of his grandmother's checks the day that she was found. Right. So the day that she was found, the day that the police are searching for him, he tried to cash one of her freaking checks. So again, you killed this woman, you hit her body, and you're still out here trying to use her money. Like, I have no words for you. I don't. And this one was kind of difficult for me, because they're like, oh, you know, people can feel remorseful. And like, I just don't know how you can ever become a different person from that. I just don't. I feel like you can have a moment where you believe you're a different person. I feel like you could believe that you're a different person, but you're not a different person. You shot your father point fucking blank 6 times. And then you murdered your grandmother. Like, no, you're just a shitty person. Sorry.
And he hid behind the steps. Like, I don't know if anyone's been in houses in the city, but most of the time, like when you go upstairs, if you live on the top floor, there's a flight of steps that you have. You go in a door, and then there's a flight of steps, which is inside. And then there's a door at the top of the flight of steps. He hid behind that freaking door at the top of the steps. And when he heard his dad get to the top of the step is when he shot the gun through the door and hit his father 6 times. You had that shit planned out, buddy.
Right. Right. And you had it planned. You had it planned out. You planned out to kill your grandmother because she wasn't going to give you no more. Like, you're just a shit. You're just a shit person. Sorry. Sorry.
Right.
Personal opinion. But anywho, so the police are searching for him. A tip was called in
the police all contacted their informants.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're going to do something bad, make sure you only friends with no cop informant. Because they're going to rat your ass out.
Snitches get stitches. Actually, no, they don't. They get burgers and french fries.
Right. It might be day old, but they get it.
So the tip was called in. It was said that he was over at Ricky Lacey's house. Naturally, the police immediately pull up. The investigator was on the episode, and he basically said, you know, naturally they had people at the front door, people at the back door. It was a quick, easy arrest. They pulled up. He basically bailed out the back window, and they arrested him right there. Once he was at the station, he asked them, is this about my grandma? And they said yes. And his response, again, just speaking to who he is as a person, his response was, if you let me smoke crack one last time, I'll tell you everything.
So, I don't know why that just cracks me up.
Yeah, so here we are, March 22nd, 1995. He does a filmed interview, basically now saying that Rick Lacey did it. That he is responsible for the murder of his grandma. And the police, you know, naturally they look into that. They find out that Rick had nothing to do with it. I don't know what they found or how they found or why.
That Rick said he had never even been in the house, didn't know where the house was, and they did fingerprints in there and did not find any of Rick's fingerprints.
Right. So he was ultimately released. Right. And Billy was charged with first degree murder. The trial began in 1998. So he was arrested in 1995 and the trial began in 1998. And to this point, he still is claiming his innocence. He's still claiming that Rick Lacey murdered his grandma, that he didn't have nothing to do with it. That Rick was the one that basically did it all. On February 14th, 1998, he was found guilty of first degree murder and sentenced to death. They were not buying it. They were not buying his story. They were not buying the whole Rick Lacey did it. They obviously had more than enough proof that right. Rick Lacey was not the man who did this. For them to be able to convict him of first degree and sentence him to death, like, they knew good and well Rick Lacey was not responsible. The only person that was confused was him. The only person you are fooling is yourself. So ultimately he was, convicted. Now his conviction was reviewed 8 years later. And due to a legal technicality, his sentence was reduced to life without parole. So he went from first degree murder, sentenced to death, to now life without parole. Take it for what you may. I don't know. Some people agree with the death thing. Some people agree, let him rot in prison. Overall, I already said how I felt about the man. He was released back into general pop in 2006. They go on to say that basically he started a program. I don't remember the name of the program. PIPC or something.
I don't remember it either.
But there's like a program basically in prison that they do for the inmates. And it's basically just like a counseling thing and owning what you did and all this stuff. And ultimately he went through this program, and in 2010, he finally admits that he is the one who killed his grandmother. And that
during the meeting in the program.
Yeah. Yeah, in 2010, he ultimately admits that he was the one guilty of killing his grandma. Ricky had nothing to do with it. However,
the only reason why he went is because his cellmate talked him into going.
Yeah.
Because his cellmate said he knew there was something up, that the Ricky guy did not kill Billy's grandma, and he wanted to know the truth.
Right. Yeah, and he did. He said, I wanted to know the truth.
Right, he did. He's like, yep, I knew there was something up. I was cracking up with that.
Yeah.
So even if a cellmate could tell that he liar.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, he wasn't fooling nobody but himself. These police, good and well, you did this. And one day, he's got to pay the piper. He's got to own that, so... However, it goes on to say that Ricky died in 2014, and Billy goes on to say that he never got a chance to apologize to Ricky for never owning it up until that point. And I don't know.
Did you have 4 years?
I don't know how hard it would have been for, I'm sure it was hard for Ricky in the beginning when all this was happening and he was being accused. But I think it's pretty obvious that he wasn't guilty. So I hope that he didn't have too much trauma in his life from it. that he was able to just kind of, you know, whatever, screw you, dude, and move on with his life.
Right.
But I mean,
he says he didn't get a chance to tell him he was sorry. He had 4 fucking years to tell him he was sorry.
Right. Dude, you could have wrote a letter. You could have called. You could have. Oh, well, you know, I didn't reach out, or nobody reached out to me. Like,
okay. Right.
So. Oh, what's she crying about?
Keep on talking.
Is she crying?
I'll return in a minute.
Oh, Lord. Come on, let's go find her. Dog's crying. She's a big old baby. But it goes on, guys, to say they do an actual interview with his stepmom and his stepsister towards the end of the episode. But they even stated that Billy was 9 when his stepmother had left Billy's father. And it was basically after years of abuse. So again, we circle back to the confirmation that Billy's dad was abusive to her. But he ended up later reconnecting with his stepmother and his sister. And there was at one point in his life where he had threatened them with a gun.
Right. He put the gun up to the sister's face.
Because they wouldn't give him money.
Right. And he had broken into their house a few times. And...
yeah. So they had ultimately moved, and then they didn't see him again for a long time. Well, I guess since then he's reached out to them since he's been in prison.
They had said that he had tried calling the stepmom a couple times, and he had sent the sister holiday cards a couple times, but neither one of them responded or anything.
Yeah. But then it goes on. So it makes me wonder, because towards the end of it, it shows that his stepsister is decided to make the trip to go see him, to go visit him.
Right. She contacted him and said she was going to go see him.
So it makes me wonder if, like, this, you know, whole documentary or whatever, interviews and stuff, had anything to possibly do with that. You know, because, you know, when these things are done, like, their stories and stuff are true, but you never know how much all of that really plays out.
Right.
Or if it's just for clout for TV type stuff. It did go on to say, though, how we talked about his father had survived. They did say that 4 months after his father's shooting, his father was found dead in his garage, in his truck. They didn't confirm if it was an accident or a suicide, but ultimately they made it seem like the shooting weighed really heavy on him, and just everything with Billy weighed really heavy on him. And his drinking increased afterwards. It just was really, really downhill for him after the shooting.
Right.
And he was ultimately found in his truck, deceased. So,
and it seemed to be like that the ex-wife or Billy's stepmom thought maybe he did commit suicide. That's how I got it.
It definitely kind of seemed like, you know, oh, he was drinking. He was, you know, heavily intoxicated, and he may have passed out in his truck with the door closed, kind of thing, you know,
like, right. Yeah. In the garage. And yeah, and she did say that she thought maybe Billy being in jail made him realize how hard he was on Billy.
Yeah. And, yeah, because I think that based on, you know, the way his dad reacted to the shooting and stuff, I think he carried a lot of guilt.
Right.
Overall, I think he carried a lot of guilt for, you know, not necessarily abandoning him, but not being there for him, allowing him to be with a stepfather who was, you know, abusive and everything like that. He himself wasn't very loving. He was abusive. I think he carried a lot of guilt. And then when Billy snapped on him, I think the aftermath of it was he realized where he had went wrong.
Right.
But anywho, Nanny. So he's in Potosi for life. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the one. It's not my job to judge. He will meet his maker when it's time. The final decision. I think I just broke my pen.
I don't know. I know I say I'm all for the death penalty, but then I say, you know, let him rot in prison. But then again, it's like, they don't really rot in prison.
No.
I mean, if you think about it, inmates have way more, what's the word? I'm about freaking losing my damn mind. Have way more.
They have a lot of privileges.
Yes, way more privileges than a person out on the street.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, the shit that they do, they get away with, is beyond me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know.
They can get free education, free medical, you know.
Yeah, and I'm not going to sit here and, you know, say it's, like, cheesy peasy, but...
Girl, it's pretty much cheesy peasy.
If I had a choice to be homeless and on the streets or behind bars, I think I'd probably choose behind bars.
Well, hell yeah.
And I feel like that says that says a lot, because behind bars I have a bed to sleep in. Ain't the nicest bed, but it's a bed.
You get 3 meals a day.
Right, I get 3 meals a day. I could
medical, internet, education.
I could go to the library. I could read. I mean, I'm not saying it's all rainbows, but, you know, it's better than freezing.
Fuck the prisoner. The prisoners at Farmington have fucking animals. Like, they do a puppies and parolee thing or whatever.
I was shocked about the tablet thing.
Yep, every one of them get a tablet. They have puppies with parolees or whatever the hell it's called. I don't remember the name of it. Where they get, like, a dog that they can train, and it's, like, you know, the house dog. Or I mean, it's one person's dog. But, you know, it's like a house dog or whatever. I mean, come in and shake my shit. I don't care. Shake my shit out.
Right.
Look and see what you can find. I mean, you ain't going to find nothing.
Maybe a mouse
down in my fucking box. Like, and I mean, they do that too. When they find mice or whatever, they fucking capture it and they fucking treat it as a pet. They put it in their little foot box at the end of their bed, and they bring food back for it. I mean, all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah,
I don't think it's actually that fucking bad. I mean, now if you have a big, you know, fucking ignorant COs,
yeah.
But I know quite a few COs, and
yeah. But I think, you know, I mean, if you're in there, and I mean, if you've committed a crime and you're in there to be in there, and I feel like if you just do your time and be respectful, it could be
right. I mean, I know one girl that works at Bon Terre, and I mean, yeah, she has hard days, but like, they all call her mama and then her first name. I mean, they have the utmost respect for her. They don't fuck around. They don't act up, nothing. It's just, to me, it's for, I don't know. I'd rather be in prison.
I'd rather versus homeless or anything. I think I would.
Right.
They ain't
rotten.
But yeah, that's the thing. I don't think that the whole, oh, let them rot in there. That's not the case. I feel like back in the day.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right. When there was dirt on the ground and
right. The motherfuckers lucky they got fed.
So, but anyway, I told y'all we would do it, and hopefully the next one we can be together and not have to
fucking COVID.
I know. Well, I'm just ready for life to settle down. Like, I really just want a break. I'm just gonna put this in the
universe. I just want to go to Branson. We ain't been to Branson in forever.
I'm just gonna speak it into the universe. I just got a email of a report card. just popped up on my phone. So
from you or your children?
Child.
Uh-oh,
one of the children.
Big or little?
Big.
Oh.
So I'll have to see what daddy says when we get upstairs.
I want to know what the little one says. Her report card.
She got a good one. Hers was pretty good. And she was
there was no comments in the comment section.
No, there was a comment about how she loves to, you know, talk, but it was worded that she loves to talk about the subjects.
Oh, okay.
But no, I have been told that she is very informative.
Oh, Lordy.
Inquisitive.
Oh, Lordy.
You know, all the nice words.
I just want to be a little mouse in the corner of kindergarten and with that child.
Oh, she's so funny. She is so funny, Heather.
The shit she says fucks me up.
I can't even. She hit us the other day with the, okay, I believe you.
Oh, shit.
Like, where did you even get that from, child?
Right.
Oh, Lord.
I know your little one's in kindergarten. My middle one's going to college in like a year and a half.
Oh, my gosh. I know. She gets to bring her turtle.
I know, right? Fucking kid. I swear to God.
You know, so you know.
The story of this one. So I took my oldest daughter, Bryn, to SEMO for a college tour. On like December 3rd, I think it was, something like that, sometime along the lines of when I went down to Florida. So we go through this big old huge long day tour, I mean, walking and learning everything and this and that and that and this. So she says to me, because she's very, very shy, she says, Mom, ask her if we can have animals. I said, what fucking animal are you talking about? You ain't bringing none of the dogs. You know, she goes, no, I want to bring Bailey. I look at her. I said, your turtle? Yeah. So I said, are they able to bring animals? And she's like, oh, dogs? I was like, no, a turtle. And the chick's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's aquatic animal, blah, 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 you know, fish, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So Stacy is talking to me, and then she's after it's all over with, and then she gets on Messenger and she sends Bryn a message. Hey, how did the SEMO tour go? And Bryn's like, oh, what did she say? It was awesome or something like that, and you can have turtles. So Stacy's like, oh, okay. So she's like,
Stacy's the good aunt. I didn't even ask how the tour went.
So she says to me, oh, so Bryn just told me that it was, you know, it was awesome, you know, and that you can have turtles. What does that matter? And I was like, she has a turtle. His name is Bailey. Now, mind you, this turtle is at her daddy's house, but she's had him for like 5 years. And so I don't remember what the hell Stacy said to her, but Bryn was like, oh shit, well maybe I should have told you I had a turtle.
It might have been
She starts sending all these pictures to Stacy of this fucking turtle. Well, then we went to SLU and it was the same thing. Mom, ask him if we can have animals.
Oh my.
So I say, you know, is she able to bring her turtle?
Come hell or high water, she's bringing this turtle.
Girl, I'm telling you, this shit on where she goes to school is going to depend on if she can have that fucking turtle there. She ain't leaving without having that fucking turtle.
If
and I'm
they
like,
will not accept Bailey. She's not coming.
Right. Right. You're going to school for medical because she wants to be like an OBG, especially a specialist OBGYN or something like that. You know, the babies that are born all jacked up. She wants to do that or deal with the babies that people are pregnant with that are all, I don't fucking know. Something along those lines. So it doesn't matter, you know, how good the school is medical wise. It just matters if she can bring the fucking turtle Bailey.
Right. Can I bring Bailey?
Right. That's all she cares about, Bailey. I mean, but you know, hey, whatever.
That's too funny.
Yep. So I guess I need to do my comfy fact.
Oh, yes.
I remembered it.
I'm so proud of you.
It has been crazy. Actually, I remembered it laying in bed last night. I was like, I need to do a fucking comfy fact. And then as we were sitting here and you were first telling the story, I was on my phone trying to find a comfy fact. So I can't actually say I remembered.
Oh, Lord. Well, let's hear it anyway.
Okay. As of January 6, 1989, 91 men have been executed in the state of Missouri. 50 of them have been executed since 2000.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's a whole hell of a lot since 2000.
Yeah, that's a lot. I don't know, though.
That doesn't count women. And I don't remember how many women have been executed in the state of Missouri, but it does count what's his name that we did back in October, like 2 days before he got executed. Mm-hmm. The mentally handicapped guy. Yeah, it does count him. So 91 men have been executed in Missouri since January 6, 1989. 50 of them have been executed since 2000.
So,
but I think there's only been like two or three women have been executed in the state of Missouri. I know two for a fact.
So what is that, 30 years from 89 to basic, well, 1920, 21, 22, so almost like 34 years. 91 people.
50 of them in 21 years.
Wow, that's crazy. It is crazy. Like, it seems, I don't know, it's kind of hard though, because it seems like a big number, but then at the same time, it's like, I don't know, is it really a big number though? Like, right, with all the crime and shit and all the, like, I don't know.
I wonder, I think I've already looked it up, how many people are on, not death row, but are, hold up. So you said Billy's got changed from death row to what?
Life without parole.
So then he only has to do 30 years.
Well,
because then in the state of Missouri, life is 30 years.
Would that be from when it was changed, you think? So 98, that's when he was sentenced, was in 98. So 30 years, 2008, 2018, 2028 would be 10, 20, 30. So 2028, but no, that wouldn't even be, how would that be possible though? Because
hold up, I'm looking it up.
Life without parole.
Life.
You can't, I mean, you can't ever get out. Or no, that's not true. I lied. Sorry. That's not true. That means he has to serve his full life sentence without parole. Got it. So that would make 2028.
In Missouri, a life sentence is considered a 30-year prison sentence with one exception. A first-degree murder conviction states that the life sentence imposed means that the person convicted will die in prison. Okay. All right, so he died. He gonna die. Because that kind of fucked me up for a second.
So a life in prison, that was a good little fact right there.
Right?
So life in prison on a first-degree murder charge is life. It's not 30 years. It's literally life. Okay.
They gonna roll you out in a body bag.
Bah, bah, bah. That is so morbid.
Or a red hazard bag.
Oh, Lord. But, all right. Well, I thank you for.
I'm going to go call my husband.
I got to get upstairs before I get sick all over again because it's freezing down here.
Girl, I don't want to hear that bullshit. You cannot get sick because of the cold. Shut up. It's a wise tale. Whatever.
That's what they say, but I don't know if I'm buying that.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
But anywho to nanny, we will see you guys in 2 weeks. And this will be a surprise drop. So surprise, enjoy.
Surprise.
We really don't have anything coming up because we can't really plan anything due to COVID.
In the unicorn virus or whatever it's called. I always call it the unicorn virus because I can never say it right.
That's hilarious. I need to say, check us out on our website, www.murdershowsandcomfyclothes.com. Check us out on Facebook, Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes Podcast. Super behind all social media stuff. Not going to lie, I'm horrible at it. I'd be better off paying somebody, but I'm also poor. So, you know.
Right. That's why we need a Patreon page.
We love y'all. And we
are we on Instagram?
Girl, we gonna try because I know
how to do likes. Instagram. I did it today.
I see all the new likes. I see all the new listeners. So I hope that all of our new listeners, if you make it to the very end of this ramble of our podcast, we're really cool. And we appreciate you listening to us. And you know, we're just I mean, we are. We're just two moms who, you know, need something extra to do as if our lives aren't chaotic enough. Right. And we like murder. So, you know, there's that.
You said what's been going on with you now that I'm just thinking about it. You said chaotic. You know, I haven't had fucking water since Friday.
Oh my gosh, it's frozen still?
Yes, in the ground. They didn't when they did the water lines, they did not bury the water lines deep enough. So from the well house to the house and somewhere in between there is frozen.
My husband, you went to boondock.
My mom said, well, you wanted the farm life, Heather. I said, I didn't think it was gonna be like this. My husband is in Oklahoma, I believe it is, Oklahoma, Colorado. I don't know where the fuck he's at, really. He's somewhere. He's just not here. That's all I know. Delivering a hazmat load or something like that. I don't know. It goes in one ear right at that. So before he left.
As long as he's safe.
Right. Before he left, we had to fill up the big old huge 5 gallon jug. So there's like 10 5 gallon jugs sitting in my kitchen.
Wow.
So I'm taking spit baths or whore baths, whatever you want to call them, and I have to pour water down the toilet, and it really fucking sucks.
Wow.
So we were sitting outside the other day filling the jugs because the well house isn't froze, so, and we have a faucet in the well house. So we're filling the jugs. I'm sitting there almost in tears because it's fucking cold, and I said to him, and I can't even say this is all your fucking fault because I'm the one that picked the move out here. He was like, yep.
He just said, yep.
Bless his heart. So, yeah, when he gets home, we're gonna have to dig the water lines up and rebury them deeper. Fun. We should have a digging party.
Yeah, good luck with that. I think our crew's pretty battered and beat.
I don't even want none of you motherfuckers. So.
Yeah, we won't be able to work for 5 days afterwards. So
right,
we're gonna have to do it on a long vacation weekend. But anyway,
I still hurt from the dogs pulling me down in the ice the other day.
Oh my lord!
So, and dragging me across it. But yeah, so all righty then, we will be back in 2 weeks. Surprise, here is your January 26th podcast that Nikki said hell or high water or something along the mo people lines, and we will be back. When will we be back, Nick? And we will be back on,
girl, I don't know, we need a calendar down here.
I got one. We will be back on 1, 2 on the 9th of February.
All right. So we will see you guys then. We love you. We appreciate you. And
hold up. What is today?
What? Today is the 25th.
Okay. So the 26th. Okay. Yeah. We'll be back on the 9th. I got all this shit wrote down wrong. So yeah, on the 9th of February.
Okay. Well, we love y'all. Thank y'all.
Check bye. Us. Love ya.
Until then.
Stay comfy. Don't get murdered.